This is Worship First Podcast with Reverend Eleanor Coleman, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go. Join us for a word of prayer.
Awesome God, you are so good. We give you thanks for the gift of this day, for the blessing of being called your children, for the privilege of being called to serve with you in ministry, to serve for you in ministry. God, we give you thanks for this church family that you have planted us in, for another year to celebrate life in ministry with one another, serving all of your sons and daughters in this, your wonderful world. God, bless this church that it might truly be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in the world. Bless us that we might truly have the heart of God and share the love of God in your world. Forgive us for the times and the ways that we fall short. Forgive us of our sin and just keep working on us, God, so that we might reflect you more and more each day, that we might look more and more like you, that we might sound more and more like you, that we might love more and more like you each day. God, bless our church family. Bless our community. Bless this nation, Lord God. Bless your world. And thank you for choosing to use us to be a part of the way that you bless your world. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399-8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
greatness of the Lord.
The greatness of the Lord is inconceivable. The love that he shows is unconditional. The power of the Lord is unbeatable. Great is the God we serve.
The greatness of the Lord.
The greatness of the Lord is inconceivable.
God is great.
God is great.
Whoa,
whoa, and greatly to be praised.
Let's take it to the top. The greatness of the Lord.
The greatness of the Lord is inconceivable. The love that he shows is unconditional. The power of the Lord is unbeatable. Great is the God.
Say God is great.
God is great.
Whoa,
whoa, whoa. And greatly to be praised.
Say God is great.
God is great.
Whoa,
whoa. And greatly to be praised.
Say God. God is great.
God is great.
Whoa,
whoa, and greatly to be praised.
Say God.
God is great.
Whoa,
whoa, and greatly to be praised.
Say God is great.
God is great.
Whoa. God is great.
God is great.
Say God is great.
God is great.
And greatly.
And greatly to be praised.
The Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news." Let's join Pastor Colvin as she explores this topic further.
Hear these words from Luke, the 4th chapter, beginning with verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. Holy God, we thank you that your Spirit is upon us just as it was upon your Son. God, I pray that this word be a blessing to all who hear it, so that we might know how you would have us to serve in this your world. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart are acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our church family members who are researchers and scholars and scientists and professors would probably want me to introduce any unfamiliar terms up front. So here we go. Ugly beauty. It's an idea that I have that some things in this world can be so ugly and yet beautiful too. Perhaps you have been shopping and you saw a dress or a shirt and you thought at first glance the pattern was so ugly. But the more you looked at it, you say, well, it's kind of cute. I think that some people's pets are ugly, beautiful, especially those scrunched up little pugs. They're ugly. But the more you look in that little wrinkled face, you say, well, I guess he's kind of cute. There are some things in life that are ugly and beautiful all at the same time. Pandemic has been ugly, beautiful for us. The pain and the politics, the fear and the death has been unquestionably hard and some days quite ugly. Pandemic has been hard ground, and still so many beautiful things have grown out of that hard ground. Life has gone on, babies have been born, folks are sitting down for family dinner again, people are tending to their health, and all that's beautiful. I'm learning also that Facebook memories can be ugly, beautiful. Facebook's ability to remind us of a moment in time can be a wonderful thing and an awful thing. The pictures pop up and remind us of our joys, a few snapshots from the highlight reel of our lives. And then the very next day, Facebook busts our little bubble, drains all the air out of our balloons as it reminds us of our sorrow. Loved ones who aren't with us anymore, relationships or jobs that we thought would go another way. Some days, I'm glad to see the memory pop up. I'm curious. I'm looking forward to the thing that made me smile 2 years ago or 7 years ago, making me smile again today. And other days, I'm nervous about what the internet remembers that I had forgotten. This week, my Facebook memories included posts of past church anniversary and homecoming celebrations. I had forgotten how full the sanctuary could be. I was so glad to see our church overflowing and so sad to know we would not be able to worship in that way this year. I was so glad to see the praise dancers accompanying the choir, leading us all in declaring that the presence of the Lord is here. Remember that year? And then I was so sad to think that things would be so very different this year. Then I reminded myself for the millionth time, the presence of the Lord is here. Here, inside of each of us, here in all the earth, not just inside church buildings. The Lord reminded me of the stories I've been told about the legacy of this land. And I thought, what a blessed thing for us to worship outside on this piece of earth and bless it, to consecrate it again with our presence and our praise. What a wonderful thing for us to lift our praises into the air and the atmosphere. So it's a privilege to come home today in the midst of this ugly, beautiful pandemic. Our text for today tells the story of Jesus participating in a homecoming worship service. He was the scripture reader that day. Luke 4 tells us Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And those who have been able to participate in the quarantine Bible study, learning from folks in isolation, they know that Jesus was returning from being tested and tempted and tried in the wilderness. Another word for wilderness is pandemic. Another word for wilderness is quarantine. Today, as we celebrate our church anniversary and homecoming, we are returning like Jesus in the power of the Spirit. Some of us are returning to the church grounds for the outdoor celebration, but all of us are returning in our hearts. All of us can use this day as a day to return to loving God and neighbor, return to serving God and neighbor. All of us can return to deep discipleship today. All of us can return to the things that Jesus read about in that scripture lesson from Isaiah. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Friends, doing all these things is yet another way for us to seek the prosperity of the city, seek the welfare of the city, which we've been talking about for a few weeks now. This, friends, the welfare of the city is the sole reason the church exists, for the salvation and edification of the world. Edification, simply a fancy way of saying the improvement of the world, the instruction of the world. As United Methodists, we hold fast to this teaching. We say that the church exists for the maintenance of worship, the edification of believers, and the redemption of the world. Worship, praising, honoring, glorifying God. That's our purpose. The improvement of believers, growing in discipleship, growing in our prayers, presence, gifts, service, witness, growing in God. That's our purpose. The redemption of the world will require us, as Christ did, to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom, to proclaim recovery of sight for the blind, to proclaim freedom for the oppressed, and the year of the Lord's favor. And while all that is good news, the really good news is that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. The really good news is that the presence of the Lord is here, calling and commissioning us, empowering and enabling us to do this work. Friends, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you to tell someone in need not to give up, to tell someone in need how good God has been to you, how God has made a way out of no way. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you to tell someone who is captive how you got out, how you got over grief, over addiction, over depression and anxiety. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you to tell a captive how you found freedom in Christ. To tell someone who's blind, you know what? This is temporary. How do I know? Because I once was blind, but now I see. The Spirit is on us to tell a blind person, follow me, walk this way. Well, hold my hand. I got you until you can get yourself, until you get your sight back. The good news is the Spirit of the Lord is upon us to declare that this is the year of the Lord's favor. Yes, 2020. Yes, a year of pandemic. Yes, a year full of problems, destruction, and despair, and favor. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us to declare that it's safe to dream. Even now, just as Jeremiah told us, to plant vineyards, focus on your family while you're in exile, grow in every way possible. And it's possible because this ugly, beautiful year is the year of the Lord's favor. And when I think about it, ugly beauty is not a new concept. God looked at us wrapped in the ugliness of our sin, and still saw the beautiful reflection of God that we were created to be. God saw our divine beauty beneath the skin, sin. And because of that, God sent his son to do the most ugly, beautiful thing ever. The cross of Christ is the ultimate in ugly beauty, the most horrific way to die in that time, the most gruesome way to die, and yet the most amazing gift. The cross of Christ really is too awful, too ugly to look upon, and that's why the men left and the women wept. The cross of Christ is too awful, too ugly to look upon, and yet too miraculous to ignore. ritual tells us that by the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth, God, to your church. In other words, through an ugly, beautiful thing, you created this faith community. We might be celebrating 76 years, but more than 2,000 years ago, through the ugly beauty of the cross of Christ, through the womb of an empty tomb, you birthed this church and all others. And you call us to meet the ugliness of the world with the beauty of your love. You call us to locate your beauty even amid the ugliness that we behold, the ugliness that's in our face, and unleash love. 1 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter says, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else. That's one way we will know that we're still growing when our default response is love. Because truly the factory setting of our hearts is love. And as we remind one another to take a state-issued ID to vote, maybe we'll remember to take love, our salvation-issued ID, everywhere we go. Christ said, they will know you are my disciples by your love. All these things the Spirit is anointing and appointing us to do today are signs of love. Preaching the good news, proclaiming freedom, restoring sight, reminding folks of God's favor are all acts of love. And if it were all captured in a Facebook memory, it would be the most ugly, beautiful collage ever. Starting with our sin, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, because all of us were sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. It would start with our sin, move toward the cross, and there might be a few snapshots of us being the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. And of course, that ugly, beautiful collage would include pictures of church birthday parties like this one. I can only imagine. One of my favorite quotes is, how can you make tomorrow love today? How can you make tomorrow love today? In other words, what can you do today that will make a difference in this world tomorrow? What can you do today that will make the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven? When we're living out eternal life and a discipleship memory pops up in the cloud, literally the cloud, what will we see? The hymn writer says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. On this day that we're blessed to celebrate life in a faith family, let us remember that only what we do for Christ will last. Only what we do for Christ will pop up as a memory 10,000 years from now. So on this, our church birthday, let's make a wish. Let's pray for the power to do a little something, something every day that might show up in our heavenly highlight reel. Let's pray to do a little sharing of the good news, a little teaching in word and deed that will help someone get free. Let's pray for the power to declare the year of the Lord's favor. This, friends, will keep God's kingdom growing. This will keep God's love flowing. This will keep our tomorrows giving thanks for our todays. And it will keep us growing in God today and always. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.